Welcome back to When Radio Was, where it's time once again for some comedy. Before the break, we heard a December 8, 1946 episode of the Jack Benny program, and now a quarter-hour broadcast from exactly 12 years later, as it played on December 8th of 1958.
The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
Aunt Effie, come on, now we've got to leave.
I don't see why Aunt Effie has to get down to court with us.
Well, she wants to. I don't know. She's so upset at the thought of you getting involved with the police.
I am not involved with the police, as you call it.
Well, what do you call it, dear?
I call it defending my rights, a cry for justice.
Well, you'd have saved all of us a lot of mental strain and anguish if you had just paid the $15 fine to begin with.
I was not jaywalking. Now, if I'd paid that fine, it would have been the same as admitting that I was guilty, which I was not.
Well, I don't know how you're going to prove you weren't. And even this expensive lawyer, Mr. Masterson, doesn't seem much interested in the case. All he's ever said to you is, don't worry, leave everything to him. I believe even he honestly thinks you're silly to have taken this to trial, dear.
I intend to make this a test case. I have a right to protest my innocence.
Well, here I am. I'm all ready. Now, will I be called on to testify?
You? Oh, no, no, Aunt Effie. Why should you?
As a character witness. Now, you tell your lawyer I want to be called on. Why, I took care of you when you were a little boy.
Oh, no, 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 Aunt Effie. I mean, it won't be necessary. Now, please.
I don't mind at all. But, I want to. Why, I remember when 14 cents was missing from the sugar bowl, and your mother thought you took it, and I said, no, I knew you didn't take it. And I remember I took you on my lap, and you looked at me with those big brown eyes and said, now, you tell Aunt Effie the truth. Did you take that 14 cents?
Well, look,
And you said so sweetly, no, Aunt Effie, I didn't. I didn't take the money. No, I remember the tears rolling down your little face.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Well, nobody believed you but your Aunt Effie. You were spanked and put to bed, and afterwards they found out your sister took the 14 cents. But you didn't tell Aunt Dorothy. You just took that spanking like a little soldier and... If the judge asks me about your character, I shall get right up in court and tell that story.
Oh, Aunt Effie, for the love of Mike,
Now, look, you're the one who insisted on taking this to court. You may need a good character witness. Now, come on, let's go. I'm leaving the baby at Elner's. Oh, really, to go through this all over again.
Go through it all over again?
Yes, 2 weeks ago we went down to court. Just as the case began, he fainted. It had to be postponed.
Fainted? Oh, you poor boy. All this nervous strain.
No. It wasn't my collar was too tight. I mean, the laundry sent back the wrong shirt.
It was 14 and a half, and he wears a 15 and a half, and he couldn't breathe.
Couldn't breathe.
Well, we discovered it later, but at the time it was so dramatic, he just sort of slid under the table,
Oh,
you know?
Look, come on, will you? I don't want to think about that. Now, come on, let's go. Where's my lawyer? He was to meet me here outside the courtroom. Where is he?
Now, don't get nervous.
I'm not nervous.
He'll be here. Do you remember your speech?
Yes.
Is he giving a speech, too?
Well, it's not really a speech. I mean, it's just a few words he wants to say on the witness stand, Aunt Effie, about the rights of an average citizen. You know, sort of a cry for justice. Mm-hmm. He's been working on it for weeks. Tell Aunt Effie the one line I like that's just wonderful, honey, you wrote.
Oh,
it. Tell
I...
just the one line.
Yes. It is my belief that unless the key of truth opens the door of justice, the door to injustice remains forever locked.
Oh, Isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
Are you feeling better today?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you, Mr. Masterson. This is my aunt, Miss Sorensen, Mr. Masterson.
How do you do? Now, if my nephew needs a character witness, I have known him since he was a little boy, and I have never known him to lie or steal. He is just wonderful to his mother.
Aunt Effie, please.
Well, Miss Sorensen, I don't think it'll be necessary to call on you, but if it is, fine. Mm. Now stop worrying, Mr. Piper.
Yeah, don't worry.
You just leave everything to me.
Well, you remember, don't you, that I have something I want to say on the witness stand?
What? Oh, yes, indeed. Now, shall we go in? The first case on the docket is People versus Piper.
Oh, dear, I've never been in court before. What happens first?
The judge will ask Mr. Piper if he still pleads not guilty. And if so, then he will ask the arresting officer to read his report of the summons. Then I shall cross-examine the officer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's nothing to worry about. You leave everything to me.
You're listening to The Couple Next Door on When Radio Was. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Couple Next Door on When Radio Was.
Will you read the summons, Officer Gridley?
Yes, Your Honor. On October 15th, 1958, I was standing at the corner of 6th and Main, where I am regularly stationed, and where there are traffic lights and signal signs indicating that pedestrians are permitted to walk or not to walk, depending on how the traffic lights are going at the time. In violation of the ordinance enforcing the observance of the walk and do not walk signs, the defendant in my presence proceeded to walk across Main Street in a northerly direction, while the lights were against him and while the do not walk sign faced in his direction.
Is there anything further you observed, officer?
No, Your Honor, there was nothing further that I observed.
Mr. Piper, you've heard the evidence of the arresting officer. You have the right to offer your own testimony or to offer the testimony of witnesses. Are you represented by counsel?
Oh, yes, I am, Your Honor.
Very well. Do you wish to cross-examine Officer Gridley, counsel?
I have just a few questions. I know that Officer Gridley's integrity and veracity have been well established in the past. In fact, if I've been correctly informed, I believe, officer, you recently received a special award of merit, did you not?
Oh, yeah, I did.
In fact, that seems to have been your week for prizes, officer. You also won the trophy for trap shooting, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I'm just lucky, I guess.
Oh, I would say it was more than luck, officer. Competence, I would say. And ability.
Trophy for what?
Trap shooting, clay pigeons.
Now, officer, you say this jaywalking incident occurred on the morning of October...
He shot them, killed them, and he got a trophy for it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, clay pigeons. I was thinking stool pigeons.
Oh, for Pete's sake, will you just keep quiet now and listen?
It's true that on this same morning, an accident occurred on the same corner at 6th and Main.
That's right, sir. It wasn't much of an accident. One car rammed into another from behind. They just hooked bumpers. Of course, it was what you might expect. Women drivers.
I object.
Sit down. You cannot object. What is the matter with you?
Well, I do object.
Oh. Quiet. Quiet in the courtroom, please.
Mrs. Piper, I beg of you to sit down.
Yes. I certainly object to that remark made about women drivers.
For the love of Mike, will you sit down?
Your Honor, the wife of my client is unfamiliar with courtroom procedure. I beg indulgence for this unseemly disturbance.
Mrs. Piper... I shall have to ask you to refrain from any further disturbance.
In the name of all women, Your Honor, and in full respect of this court, I still want to say that I certainly object to the remark about women drivers.
Mrs. Piper, unless you refrain at once from any further disturbance,
well I shall known. Plead
he'll fine you for contempt of court.
It is well known that the percentage of accidents caused by men drivers is 10 times higher than accidents caused by women drivers.
It is higher than that, dear.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Quiet. Quiet! Quiet in the courtroom, please.
Well, it makes me mad.
Will you sit down?
Mrs. Piper, I beg of you.
She is absolutely right.
I think it's time we women spoke up in the name of justice. Men are always making remarks like that, and I just want to go on record as objecting. Thank you.
If there are any more outbursts, I shall clear the courtroom. Now, Mrs. Piper, are you quite finished?
Well, yes, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Any further interruptions on your part, and I shall contemplate fining you for contempt of court. Now, let us proceed with the case. Counsel, continue with your cross-examination.
Honestly, what is the matter with you?
Well, it made me mad.
I'll be brief, Your Honor. Officer Gridley, would you mind turning around and facing the wall? Thank you. Now, can you see the wall?
Yeah, sure.
Can you see me?
No. Haven't got eyes in the back of my head.
I just wanted to make sure, officer. You may turn around. Now, according to your summons, Officer Gridley, Mr. Piper was arrested for jaywalking at what time?
Exactly 8:52 a.m.
8:52. You're positive?
I certainly am positive. I wrote it down. That's what it was.
Thank you. Your Honor, I submit the report of an accident between the two cars that hooked bumpers, which occurred that same morning on that same corner, and according to this report, in Officer Gridley's handwriting, the accident occurred at precisely 8:52.
goodness sake, did you hear what he said here?
I suggest that unless Officer Gridley has eyes in the back of his head, he could not possibly have witnessed an accident on one corner and simultaneously witnessed an act of jaywalking on the opposite corner. I suggest that Officer Gridley presumed that the defendant crossed the street, when in reality, as the defendant has claimed, he merely stepped down from the curb to view the accident himself. I suggest, Your Honor, that there is reasonable doubt Officer Gridley could have been in two places at precisely the same time.
Officer, this is your handwriting on both reports.
Yes, Your Honor. But I must have looked at my watch wrong, or maybe it stopped or something.
You may step down, Officer Gridley. It appears from the testimony and admissions of the arresting officer that the offense could not have been seen by the officer at the time it allegedly took place. There is at least reasonable doubt. And I accordingly dismiss the case.
Oh, just dismiss the case? I haven't been on the witness stand.
Well, it wasn't necessary, Mr. Piper. I said not to worry.
Worry? But look, I something I wanted to say.
Yes.
Quiet in the courtroom. Next case, please.
Your Honor, you can't dismiss the case. My husband has something he wants to say.
Mrs. Piper, I hereby fine you $15 for contempt of court.
Well, my goodness, all I can say is it was terribly exciting. Now, you two just sit down and relax. I'll make some coffee.
Relax. I spent 3 months fighting a $15 jaywalking charge, and then I plunk it out anyhow on a contempt of court charge.
Well, I was only trying to help you. I'm sorry you didn't get to give your speech, dear. And I'm sorry you're mad at me.
Golly, I don't know what I am. The whole thing was over so fast. Wasn't at all what I planned. And then that Masterson, that lawyer, takes all the credit. Did you see him walking out of the courtroom like a movie star, shaking hands, being congratulated?
Well, dear, he did win the case.
Pete's sakes.
And you know, Charlie Bemis said he was clever and very colorful in the courtroom. You have to admit it was clever the way he cross-examined the officer. Did you step off the curb to witness the accident?
Look, the lawyer was just lucky that the officer made a mistake writing the same time down. That's all. I don't know if I even stepped off the curb. He made that up. I do know I heard the two cars hit each other, and I turned around and I said to some guy, "Look at that, would you? I bet they're women drivers." And I may have stepped off the curb.
Oh.
In all the years
that I have been driving, not once have I had an accident or gotten a ticket.
Stop it, both of you. You're just all keyed up.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Aunt Effie. Honey, Your Honor, I plead guilty to making a stupid remark.
Well, I give you a suspended sentence of 50 years, not making any more remarks about women drivers. Case dismissed.
All right. Fair enough. Come on, let's have some coffee.
What a day.
The Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch and stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce, with Margaret Hamilton, House Jameson, Raymond Bramley, and Joseph Julian, and is produced by Walter Hart. This is Stuart Metz inviting you to listen again tomorrow for The Couple Next Door.
December 8th, 1958, the Couple Next Door basically revival of Peg Lynch's earlier series known as The Adventures of Ethel and Albert, and that one Alan Bunce also played her spouse. I'm Greg Bell, and earlier we had the Jack Benny program featuring announcer Don Wilson. Well, Wilson also announced for a wartime variety series. It was created by the War Department, and it featured all volunteers, including cast and crew. Can you name it? I'll have the answer and then wrap up When Radio Was right after this.
There's no business like show, business like no business I know.
Everything about it is appealing.
SpiritsEntertainment.com presents the very best of the Broadway musicals. 60 showstoppers from the stage and screen featuring songs from South Pacific, The King and I, Annie Get Your Gun, Guys and Dolls, Showboat, Carousel, and many more.
accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
I'm singing in the rain.
This three-CD collection of 60 original recordings from the greatest musicals showcases legendary artists, including Fred Astaire, Judy Garland, Gene Kelly, Doris Day, Bing Crosby, Pat Boone, and Ethel Merman, to name just a few.
Put on a happy face, brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face.
Order Broadway musicals today at spiritsentertainment.com and pay just $19.98 for this three-CD set of 60 songs from your favorite musicals. Plus, get a special bonus of reduced shipping by using promo code BROADWAY77.
Stormy weather.
Hey there, you with the stars in your eyes. Love never made a fool of you.
Go to spiritsentertainment.com now to get the very best of Broadway musicals today for only $19.98. Remember promo code BROADWAY77 to get extra savings on shipping.
On the rainbow, why, oh, why can't I?
That's Broadway 77 at spiritsentertainment.com. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
How we pay for goods and services online and at retail is evolving, fusing convenience with security. Visa's Mark Nelson, head of consumer payment products, says Visa recently announced 7 new and exciting technologies. Mark shared a couple with me here.
But we've introduced a flexible credential whereby a single card can be what you want it to be depending on the transaction type. We've also introduced this concept of a passkey, and it's all around how do we make payments safer and easier to use online. We also announced a thing called a data token, which allows the customer to get a little bit more control in terms of where they want to share their data. So if they want to share data with a third party, it can enable a better shopping experience all through AI. And it's a way in which the consumers can have a little bit more control over who they share their data with.
More info is at visa.com. That's simply visa.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Welcome back to When Radio Was. Before the break, I mentioned that longtime Jack Benny program cast member Don Wilson also announced for a wartime variety series created by the War Department. The answer is Command Performance. Well, I'm Greg Bell, and we've come to the end of another show, but hey, visit us at our website, which is whenradiowas.com. Until next time, I bid you farewell.
When Radio Was is presented by RadioSpirits.com. This is your announcer, Bart Taylor.